This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, keep twisting, twisting, twisting around the room. What are you going to do? You're going to end up going to the chiropractor. But that's Chubby Checker. Remember that song? He must have made about six or seven songs, at least. Ed would know better than me on different dances. I wonder if he's still singing, if he's still doing his stuff. We'll have to look him up, Chubby Checker. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. And I am getting terrible feedback in these headset. I hope we're sounding okay on the air. Good, we are. As I say, I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Friday, November the 12th. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute, and we're going to talk about increasing IRS tax surveillance. Have you heard about that? Versus civil liberties to you, to the public in general. So stay tuned for that. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis threatens to send those illegal migrants that are being dropped off, you know, in the middle of the night in the Sunshine State. He wants to send them up to Delaware. We're going to get some thoughts on that and a few other things with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi, a little bit later in the program. And the Kamala problem. Do you know what the Kamala problem is? It is a Democratic problem. What will the Democrats do with the vice president? What are they going to do? She's supposed to be next in line, is she not? We're going to check into that as well. And we have a good one in our ultimate top 10. These are the America's top 10 most expensive zip codes to live in. So put your house on the market and go running to these zip codes. Try and buy a house over there. So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Best haircut you can get in Tampa Bay. You got to call for your appointment first, 727-733-3773. They are located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580. And don't forget, what a great show. It's like the opening act for Elvis. Good Morning Clearwater, before my program, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Let Paul and Tracy Allen start off your day. They're great. Latest in news, sports, entertainment, gossip. They love talking about all these TV shows I never watch. They must watch a lot of game shows and stuff like that. And some of these, comedy programs. Anyway, Good Morning Clearwater. So, what's going on these days? Biden is now admitting that there is a problem with the cost of all these products we're trying to buy. He finally came out and said, yeah, we got that problem. What's he going to do about it? What is he going to do about it? Well, so much for his pledge that his spending bill is not going to raise taxes on the middle class. An analysis that was released yesterday by the Tax Policy Center, that's supposedly a nonpartisan group, it says roughly 20 to 30% of middle-income households are going to pay more in taxes. They'll pay more in taxes, 20 to 30%. He said that Nobody under $400,000? That's what Ed makes, a little better than $400,000. Nobody under 400, oh, he makes more than that. Nobody under $400,000 was going to pay any tax. Didn't he say that? He said it about 25 times. And now it says, according to the Tax Policy Center, that the tax increases will come. They say these increases will be very small to these people. Said that households between 200,000 and 500,000 would pay about $230 more per year. Well, they can certainly afford that, right? But don't go saying that none of you under 400,000 are going to pay any taxes when you are. Now, is he going to come out and admit that he said something that was not true? No. No, he won't. So his numbers are going lower and lower. I suspect that he will go lower than Donald Trump's numbers relatively soon. I think he's right at the Donald Trump low number favorability thing right now. But I think it'll go lower than that. Because he's not, because nobody is confident that he knows what to do. Do you have any confidence in Biden knowing what to do about supply chain problems? He tried to explain it. Was it yesterday? He was talking about supply chain, and he was trying to talk down to people about supply chain as if people don't understand supply chain. They understand that the product isn't getting to the shelves in the quantity that they need. They understand that. They also understand that the products that are getting to the shelves are much higher than they were before. Did you know that they're third in they're the fastest hike, 1 year hike in the cost of goods in 31 years? That's what we've had in 31 years. So everything he's doing or not doing seems to be going the wrong way. Now, you know, now he's begging Saudi Arabia to pump more oil. Did you hear that? He's begging Saudi Arabia to pump more. We were able to pump and frack and have enough oil that we could provide for our country, basically, and also sell to other countries. And one of the first things he did was to start looking around for pipelines to shut down in this country. Because the far left wing of his party insists that somehow when you send the oil sludge through these pipes, that somehow it's causing a climate change issue. So if we stop sending the oil through the pipes, what are we going to do, put them in trucks? Is that safer? Or on rail cars? Is that safer? I mean, this is the mentality, I think, of these people. Of course, when you listen to Biden, you don't really think he's dancing to somebody else's tune, you know? It doesn't sound like he's really in control of what he's doing. It's very, 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 very depressing. But so we got all of these things kind of going on at the same time. You know, we've got the we've got the high prices, we've got the lack of supply, we apparently don't have enough truck drivers to take the loads right now and move them from the ports. You know, get on the road, move them from the port. That seems to be a big issue. So there is a lack of enough truck drivers. I mean, you can't blame Biden for all of this. Certainly not. But raising your taxes, trying to spend trillions of dollars as if somehow that's going to do it? It's not going to do it. His spending bill would not help. It would make things even worse than they are now. I mean, common sense, common economics will tell you that when you spend other people's money and then spend more than they even have, where you start printing money, you're going to have inflation. That's what you'll have. Anyway, we are going to take our break. And with all of this going on, we've now got this issue that the IRS may increase surveillance of people to pull in more money. That against the civil liberties of these people. We'll talk with Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute. Are you ready?
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello out there. Tune in every Saturday at noon on Tan Talk for Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. Every Saturday at noon, we will find resources, education, and a shoulder for the caregivers. I know it's tough, but we can work it out together. Look forward to you tuning in on Saturdays at noon, where you'll have tons of information. Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday, and we thank you very much for joining us, and delighted to have back Chris Edwards. He's Director of Tax Policy Studies at the Great Cato Institute. He has penned a piece on their website, IRS Tax Enforcement versus Civil Liberties. Chris, welcome back.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, Paul.
Ah, it's our pleasure. And I think this is a very timely article. You talk about the reconciliation bill. Here we are talking. It's just unbelievable that we're talking trillions of dollars in spending. But they have included, about $80 billion? Is it for increased IRS surveillance? What's going on with that?
That's right. The Democratic bill still has $80 billion of increased funding for the IRS, which the Congressional Budget Office reported recently would actually double the size of the IRS bureaucracy. It would double the number of workers at the IRS, which is absolutely
great.
Remarkable. So that means vastly greater numbers of audits and intrusive digging of the IRS into your personal affairs. Of course, we've already seen this blow up over this idea that the IRS is going to get into everyone's bank accounts. They've sort of withdrawn that proposal for a while, but I still see major civil liberties problems with this big increase in IRS funding and enforcement.
Yeah. You know, this privacy thing has become such an issue over the past years, you know, with the internet and with everything else. We now kind of think we've, you know, but just by going online onto our computers and our phones now, that we're virtually surrendering our privacy anyway, you know? We just assume it.
That's right. And, you know, the IRS database, you think about it, you know, there's been, of course, lots of hacking and data leaks, both from, you know, private company databases as well as government databases. But the IRS has got to be the mother load of personal information that you're really vulnerable if it gets hacked. And the IRS has had hacking in the past, where hundreds of thousands of tax returns have leaked out. We saw earlier this year the liberal website ProPublica published data on a few thousand tax returns of wealthy people that were stolen from the IRS, and ProPublica irresponsibly went ahead and published some of this data. When you think about how dangerous that is, what ProPublica has essentially done has created this incentive then for criminals to try to steal IRS tax returns on famous people, maybe Hollywood people and the like, and maybe sell the information or leak it, other media. It just seems to me it's really dangerous. The more information the IRS grabs on all of us, the more vulnerable we all are.
Oh yeah, no question about it. Now, the Democrats, I guess the reason that they're doing this supposedly is to collect more money, somehow get it into the Treasury, assuming that if they have the IRS doing more surveillance, they're going to catch people. I would think by the time that they end up hiring all of these people and setting this whole thing up, it's going to cost at least as much as any money that they're going to capture. What do you think?
That's right. Here's what the erroneous thinking of the politicians on the left is. They say, okay, with this, we're going to spend $80 billion more on the IRS, and the CBO says that that'll raise $200 billion more from Americans finding income that should have been taxed. Whether or not that's true, I think they've probably exaggerated that number. But even if it's true, that misses the additional costs on the private sector. The thing about the IRS is they make a lot of errors, and there's going to be a hell of a lot of false positives. They're going to be, I mean, if they did the bank account proposal, the IRS would be flooded with millions of new data points, billions of new data points from our bank accounts, and they chase after a lot of people, more people who seem to have suspicious activity, but was in fact quite legal. So there'd be a huge number of false positives, which would impose all these new costs on millions of innocent people who weren't doing anything wrong, but the IRS initially thought that their activities were suspicious. My point is that there is a big private sector cost when the IRS increases its enforcement power. So I don't think they're going to find that much more money with all this extra enforcement, but they will impose a lot of additional costs, billions of dollars of additional costs on the private sector, people having to pay lawyer fees and more paperwork and more time wasted to defend against frivolous IRS charges.
And think of the public relations backfire on this, too, because people already are suspicious of the IRS. And if they do something like this, and then you got the political thing too. Oh, you're using the IRS to go after, you know, your political enemies. I mean, all of the things that will pop up from this increased surveillance. Now, one of the things...
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And one of the things, one of the false narratives I see out there all the time is U.S. politicians make it sound like, you know, there's this completely, you know, rampant cheating going on in the American tax system. But actually, there's been a number of international studies that compare tax avoidance and evasion in different countries around the world. And the U.S. tax evasion is actually only about half as big as it is in Europe. I posted some of this data on my Cato blog yesterday. So, you know, Americans are really law-abiding people. There's data, for example, on how big the black markets are around the world. The United States is one of the very smallest black markets in the economy around the world. So Americans are generally law-abiding. They pay their taxes. They follow the law. So the problem with this big expansion in IRS power is that it's going to waste a lot of our time, impose a lot of extra costs on us, and they're not going to raise that much money. And it'll be bad for the economy. So yes, they might get some extra money, but it's not going to be worth the extra costs they're going to impose on everyone.
We're talking with Chris Edwards. He's director of tax policy studies at the Cato Institute. You go to their website, you'll see the story IRS tax enforcement versus civil liberties. So, Chris, they've got this bill. It's they can't seem to get enough votes for this reconciliation bill. They can't get a couple of their moderates in the Senate, apparently, to agree to it. And there are those also in the House that are worried about it on the moderate side. And they include this little provision in there. As you look at all of this, do you think that there is any chance that this particular surveillance bill would survive, even if they got the reconciliation bill up there for a vote?
I think that, you know, I think some of these tax ideas are so bad that even if they were passed into law, they would be later repealed.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking, for example, of this idea of taxing unrealized capital gains, which was, you know, had been in the plan. It's such a terrible idea. I think that would be repealed even if passed. They've got this other idea that's still in the bill to tax businesses based on their financial statement income, which would be a terrible idea. I've written about that at Cato too. The problem would be that it would corrupt corporate financial statements, because corporations would then try to jigger, you know, the amount of financial statement income they report to shareholders. So that would be a terrible idea. And I think if it was passed, everyone would realize it would backfire and it would be repealed. I think the same is true of this big expansion in the IRS and the idea of giving the IRS a lot more power. I think that if a lot more Americans and small businesses in particular were subjected to these root canal audits, there'd be a big
root canal
backlash. You know, there's a history here. In the 90s, the IRS was getting excessively aggressive, and there were a lot of abuses, and the Republicans passed an IRS Reform Act in 1998 that put extra procedural protections in place for taxpayers. The problem now is that the Democrats want to repeal a lot of these or some of these extra procedural protections, and I think that's really the wrong way to go.
You know, I got the impression, maybe it's not the case anymore, that that the IRS was already too slow to do its work, you know, and people would be waiting for their refunds and this and that, you know, why isn't my refund in here yet? You know, well, they're swamped with work. And I'm thinking, okay, if that's true, and now they want to add this extra surveillance and hire the more people to do more work, that's kind of going the wrong way with the IRS, I would think, for efficiency.
So here, let me defend the IRS just for a minute here.
Sure.
The central part of the problem here is that Congress keeps making the tax code so darn complicated.
Yeah.
The Democrats have proposing to add dozens of new, you know, renewable energy credits and housing credits and the like to the tax code. That increases, you know, that makes it impossible for the IRS to properly administer the code. And so, you know, the IRS is burdened by this massive complexity that Congress is imposing on them. So I propose in my article, the win-win here is to simplify the tax code.
Right.
More people would pay their tax code, their tax liability. There'd be less avoidance and evasion. And the IRS's administration job would be much easier if we were to simplify the tax code. So this is one of, you know, an additional problem with what the Democrats are proposing. They want to make the tax code a lot more complicated. That would make the IRS's job even harder to properly administer the tax code.
I think there's no question you're right about that. I've always wondered why that flat tax never caught on, actually. I always thought that was a good idea.
Go ahead. It's a great idea, and I've written about that for many years.
Yeah.
You know, it's the special interest problem in Washington. You see it now, as I said, with the Democrats are proposing dozens of new renewable energy tax credits and the like to complexify the tax code. So, you know, the special interests, you know, are always getting in there at the front of the line and convincing too many members of Congress to muck up the tax.
Yeah, the lobbying groups, they just won't have it. You know, their little pet projects would somehow go away if we went to something like a flat tax. Chris, it's always a pleasure. Keep up the good fight, my friend. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
All right. Chris Edwards, Cato Institute. Going to take our break. And when we come back, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis wants to send those illegal immigrants being dropped off in Florida up to Delaware. You know why, don't you? We're going to talk about that, along with a few other things, with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works. We thank you so very much for being with us. So, Governor Ron DeSantis, our beloved governor here in Florida, has floated the idea of sending those migrants that are being dropped off in the middle of the night here on these different airports. I guess they must be dropping them off, what, in Jacksonville and the Tampa, maybe Tampa, St. Pete Clearwater Airport around here, maybe, and down in Miami. He's threatening to send to get them on buses and the like, and send them to Delaware. Send them to Delaware, Biden's home state. He says this: if they're going to come here, we'll provide buses. He says, I will send them to Delaware and do that. I will send them to and, you know, they're not even letting the governor know. You would think that that's an impeachable offense. You're just going to drop illegal immigrants off by plane without telling the governors of the states that you're doing that? Just think about it for a second. Isn't there any, what's the word? Don't you have to kind of get the okay of the governor to do that? It would seem to me it would. Anyway. We have got the proprietor of the Barber Poll with us, Andrew Cerisi. Andrew, do you think DeSantis will indeed drop these people off in Delaware?
Well, Paul, I'll tell you what. I'm trying to help the governor out myself.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm starting a GoFundMe page.
Oh.
So we can get the people in Florida to put up some money to get the buses to ship them the hell out of here.
You are, huh?
Of course.
What do we do? Get a bunch of old Greyhound buses and line them up at the different airports? Or what are we going to do here?
It's called Send Them Back to Biden.
Oh, okay.
The GoFundMe is Send Them Back to Biden.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to try and get all the people to donate the money so it wouldn't even hurt the taxpayers. We're going to do this out of the charity of the Florida people.
Are you going to put the moniker Let's Go Brandon on the side of the buses as they go up towards Delaware?
You got it.
I see.
You got it. Paul, you know what amazes me now? You know there's got to be more to it than them just dropping them off here. They have got to have people that are getting houses and everything rented for these people and places to go for them to sleep.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're not just dumping them there. So he's got a conglomerate of people working around the state here somewhere doing this.
Yeah, technically. And I don't know if this is really true. Technically, these people that are boarding these planes and being dropped off, let's say here in Florida, supposedly have family or kin or something, then that's why they're allowed to be placed on the planes in the first place. Now, I don't know how the border people that are surveilling our border have any way of determining that these people crossing over have any connection to anybody. But
they have no connections to nothing except Joe Biden.
So in other words,
these
people get off the plane, let's say in Tampa. They wander off the plane and they wander down the road? I mean, what's going on there?
Well, they probably got people holding up signs there.
Yeah.
They come to me, I got your house rented and furnished,
oh.
And your Thanksgiving turkey's on the table.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I was talking to this, Paul, and, you know, something's got to be done. And I really believe Ron DeSantis will put him on a bus and ship him back.
Yeah. I think here's something that, and I'm looking at this story about this whole shipment. The Biden administration has refused to tell the governor's office about who is facilitating the flights and other info. He says, the governor says the flights are operating in the late hours of the night, like 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning. Of course they're doing it then. They don't want anybody to know what they're doing.
Well, Paul,
this is, to me, this is an impeachable offense.
I told you that Obama did that during his administration, right at the Clearwater St. Pete Airport.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, on UPS planes. Brought them in the middle of the night, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, 2,000 of them in Clearwater.
And you know that the media is going to be with them, and the media will help shade this.
Oh, the media won't say nothing, Paul.
Yeah.
The media won't say a damn thing. We're over the media. Most people I talk to laugh at the media. These journalists are the biggest jokes we got in the country today.
Yeah. I just think it's an impeachable offense that you take people, first of all, you allow them to come in illegally. Then you have taxpayer-funded money to send them to different places in the country at the behest or at the choosing, apparently, of the Biden administration. Okay, let's send, we'll send these 400 to Florida. We'll send these 400 over here to, you know, Arizona. And we'll send these to
he's sending them
Idaho.
To all the red states, Paul.
Yeah.
No blue states. He might send them to the blue. He might send them to.
But I think this is.
He wants to make sure that they got all those electoral votes.
Yeah, but he's doing it without the consent of the governors, without the consent of the. I think that's impeachable.
Anybody?
No, no. But I think that.
Anybody?
I think that you could challenge him constitutionally. I think it's impeachable.
Well, let me ask you a question. Does it say anywhere that the American people's tax money should be used for the American people or for everybody else in the world? Who are we?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
money should is supposed to be used for the American, the betterment of the American people, mm-hmm. not the betterment of whoever supports the Democrat Party.
Yeah, one would think that if you want to keep your job as a congressman, you would make sure the money is being spent on Americans. If that's what you mean, yes.
You know, Paul, you got Biden with his mandates. The American people all need to walk off of their jobs for 1 week.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that.
This whole country needs, the American people need to shut it down, not the government. The American people need to start growing some cajuns and stand up for what we believe in, and we all need to shut this country down for a week.
Why, when Biden's doing it all by himself? Think about it. Think about what he's doing. He's turned off the spigots of the oil pipelines, correct? He's trying to do that. So that's shutting down transportation. It's shutting down the cost of gasoline, the cost of truck product is raising the prices of all the product. And we got apparently a lack of truck drivers to even bring the product to the stores now. He's doing everything wrong.
There is no lack of truck drivers, Paul.
No?
Truck drivers are doing this on their own. And purposely. Because
okay.
They're paying for fuel and everything else.
Sure. But in effect, it's a lack of truck drivers, whether they're doing it on their own or not. We don't seem to have enough truck drivers right now to transport the product from the ports. Is that correct?
Let me ask you another question.
I mean, really, isn't that correct?
But this is what they're saying. Right.
Well, okay.
It is correct, yeah.
So we are not enticing people to drive trucks, correct? We're not enticing them.
Paul,
what?
Let me ask you another question.
Sure.
Is there a law that states that your employer has to take your federal income tax out of your pay, or can you literally pay it yourself?
I think it's required that the employer take it out. If you are working for an employer, he is obliged to take out half of the tax himself.
Half.
Yes.
Half of the tax. Okay,
I think that's the way it's, the employee, there's an employer portion that they pay based on the services of the employee.
Well, you know, you got the government trying to break the American people. How about the American people try and break the government?
Well, yeah, but I mean, let's be realistic. You're not going to get an armed mob wandering down into Washington, going to the Capitol building and, you know, stomping into the congressional.
I'm not talking about that. I'm
okay.
Talking about not one person filing income tax.
Oh.
Nothing.
Uh-huh.
Break the government.
Yeah.
The money, Paul, they're done.
Yeah.
just like they're doing with us. Without the gas, they're done. The American people need to play their game, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, it's okay if they can shut down the country, but how about if the American people turn the cards and shut every damn thing down, period?
Yeah. No, if we brought things to a halt, yeah, you're right. There would be panic. Okay, of course, there would be panic in the streets, too.
That's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right. That's what needs to happen, Paul. The American people are complacent. I can see they're starting to get upset with it. Like I say, I don't see anybody happy to have voted for Biden. I see people that voted for Biden. Now they're saying, oh, my God, I didn't think this would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how stupid were you people? Trump told you it would happen. But you know what? Everything Trump said was the truth. Everything that he said came true. But yet these stupid American people, oh, his tweet would have hurt my feelings. What am I going to do? You know, the American people disgust me sometimes, Paul.
Yeah.
And look at what he did to Camilla the other day. He dropped a cookie in front of her. The Duchess of York there, whatever the hell she is. He dropped a cookie in front of her. He poops in front of the Pope. This guy's leaving his mark like a dog everywhere he goes. I mean, come on. Let's be real here. His whole administration's got to go. The American people need to wake up, man.
We're going to talk a little bit later, speaking of Kamala Harris, about the Kamala problem for Democrats. They don't know what to do with her. You know, it's like it's like your crazy old aunt. You know, the one that you don't want to have the rest of your friends see. So, you know, whenever your friends come over, you put your aunt in the other room and you close the door. Aren't they doing that a little bit, the Democrats, with Kamala Harris? Don't you think?
Well, she's pretty good. She imitates a black person. She's imitating a French person.
Yes.
I mean, she's great. What are you talking about?
I thought when she went over to France and said, "De plan," I thought she was imitating that little midget guy that was on the island. Remember? De plan. De plan.
De plan.
Yeah. I thought she was doing a nice imitation of that gentleman.
I mean, they're a disgust. The Democrat Party disgusting. I think we need to actually neuter and spay the liberals so they can't produce anymore. I mean, this has all got to come to a halt. These people, we're breeding a bunch of morons in this country.
Well, we're certainly breeding a bunch of people that have been indoctrinated with information, and when they go out into the real world, these kids, I think it's a jolt. They don't know how to cope with it. Don't you think?
Oh, these kids don't know how to do anything except play a video game. They know absolutely nothing. When I was young and I got my first car and you opened up the owner's manual,
mm-hmm.
it actually told you how to tighten your valve.
Yeah, you had to crank it, didn't you, at the front? Didn't you have to get down on I remember that.
They actually told you how to do that in the owner's manual. Open up the owner's manual today. You know what it says?
What?
Don't drink the battery fluid. Now, are these people that stupid? That's why the rest of the world is laughing at us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you want to hear a comedy show? Listen on Thursdays from 10 to 11. They should put that on at 11 o'clock hour on television because it's the biggest comedy show I ever heard.
Now, you know what you're doing when you say that. I know who you're talking about. And that's nap time for Big Ed. Didn't you know that? Big Ed, you know, is involved in hosting the show. And he has
a comedy show. Give me a freaking break. I would love to have a live debate with these guys. I really would. Because you know what? They can't back up one damn thing they talk about. They want to get on a bus and go up to Delaware with the immigrants. I'll have them bus to their backyard. Let's see what they think about that.
Yeah. That's the thing. They seem to be busing them to, like you said, these buses aren't dropping people off like in downtown New York City necessarily, or in Delaware. They're certainly not being dropped off in Delaware or in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Probably not being dropped off in Sacramento, California near Governor Newsom's office.
Well, Paul, I could tell you that they are dropping them off in New York City.
Oh, they are.
There's no question about it. They want to make sure.
Yeah, I think they are too.
New York stays blue.
Oh, okay. I
mean, how many electoral votes are there?
One less than Florida right now.
Okay.
About 26, 25.
They give up. Listen, the Democrats aren't even putting any money in the governor's race in Florida. Charlie Crist is going to have to tip over his piggy bank. He wants to run for governor, and the same thing with Nikki Refried Bean.
Do you think that Charlie Crist is seriously still thinking about running for governor?
I don't think he's that stupid.
He's not that stupid.
I don't think he's that stupid. He's going to embarrass himself if he does this time.
So you think he might not run?
I think he's going to let Nikki Fried embarrass herself.
Oh, okay. Now, Nikki Refried Bean, who is she?
She's the agriculture commissioner.
Is she a Democrat?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
She was the only Democrat that won anything.
Yes.
And they did that on a messed up polling thing, you know? Because the other guy originally won. I forget what his name was. And then Nikki Fried got a hold of one of her boyfriends that she knows, and they did some kind of count in the middle of the night.
And she won.
She became it, and she won.
Okay.
And now she thinks she's going to go after it. Like I say, I don't think Charlie's stupid enough, especially when he's got to use his own money.
Yeah, he doesn't want to do that. Hey, okay. On another topic, how is your beloved wife doing? I understand she's doing better.
My wife is doing absolutely great. She's off of the oxygen.
Oh, good.
She's running around. She's moaning at me again, so I know she's doing great.
She must be in good shape.
She's doing.
We're talking about Nicole. She's the beloved wife of Andrew. Excuse me. And she's been a little bit down because she's had the COVID. But she's getting over it, right?
She's over it, and she says she's not getting no shot.
Good for her. I'm just so happy that she's up and about.
Yep, she's doing great.
Oh, wonderful. Send her our love, my friend, and I'm going to be talking with you again on Monday.
You got it, Paul. You have a good weekend.
Same to you, buddy.
All right, bye, friend. Bye.
All right. There he goes, the master barber himself. All right. Hey, let's take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Kamala Harris problem.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we are on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on the great Tantalk Radio Network. But if you are not able to listen to us live, you have a second option, thanks to Big Ed. He puts all our shows on podcast. All you have to do is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button. There's all the shows. You can see who's going to be the guest for that show and the top 10. It's all you need, and away you go. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, so the Democrats have got Joe Biden. They're not even sure he's going to last his term. But what do we have if he doesn't? Or who do they nominate after his first term expires? In 2024, the Democrats have a little bit of a conundrum. Right now, they got Kamala Harris, right? She's supposed to be in the co-pilot seat, right? So when the pilot leaves, she's going to run the plane? Maybe not. Maybe not, because she's not got, apparently, she's got not got what they call gravitas. Gravitas. She's probably, if you have a picture of a person in the dictionary that does not have gravitas, it will be a picture of Kamala Harris. So who are they going to put there in her place? Who are they going to... Is there anybody else? Is Hillary going to come back? Are they going to dust her off? Who else is there? Can you think of anybody offhand? Are they going to take some progressive? Is AOC going to be their nominee for president? Right now, it's Kamala Harris. And nobody thinks she knows anything. And she's showing that maybe she doesn't know anything. She's acting very, very, I don't know, is the word awkward right? Every time you see Kamala Harris and you listen to her talk about something, does the word awkward come to mind? I always feel a little bit, I don't know, a little bit embarrassed for her, maybe. I always wonder what she's going to say, that what's going to pop out of her mouth. Anyway, before we do our top 10, I got to talk with our sports guru. I mean, he's the only one that's called a sports guru here at Tantalk, Big Ed, because we got a couple of things going on, Ed. First of all, I know how excited you are about the college basketball season starting.
What? What was that? Is that back again?
Yeah.
Oh, is that time of year?
Yeah, my beloved team won its first game, by the way. Marquette won. Look what I'm wearing. What am I wearing here? What am I wearing?
People jumping up and down for Billy Bob Votek.
And there was a lot of Billy Bob Votek basketball that was shown on television recently, because all of these bigger teams play these little sisters of the poor, and they always run up the score. You know that.
I remember the first time, I think it was in 98, somebody said to me, I got money on Gonzaga. I was like, what the hell is a Gonzaga?
I know. Is that some sort of a rifle?
Yeah.
A Gonzaga? And Gonzaga now is like the almost unanimous choice.
Right.
To be
a household name now.
It is a household name, you're right. But we've also got our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning, and we've got our beloved Bucks.
When I want to impress people about college football, say, how about that Gonzaga team?
Yeah, exactly. Sit back and see what they say. All right. So let's talk first of all about who are the Bucks playing this weekend.
They are at the Washington football team.
And the name of the Washington football team, what is their moniker now?
It would be a scarlet-colored helmet with numbers on it.
Okay. They took the feathers off.
Yeah, we would be insensitive if we mentioned the former name. So
yes, you better not. We don't want to get you in trouble.
Don't want to offend.
So we're going to go to play Washington. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
1 o'clock.
We should be about a 14-point favorite.
Well, actually, it's 10-point, but I'd be careful because we played them last year for the playoffs, and the Bucks barely got out of there alive with their quarterback, Heinicke, who reminds you a lot of Brett Favre. Actually, that game got him the starting role this year.
Okay.
So, I'd be careful. If anything goes by what happened last Sunday in the NFL— You know, with Denver going into to Dallas and blanking the Dallas Cowboys, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah.
Everything was upside down last weekend.
Yeah.
So
Who do you think?
Look at what happened last night. Ravens go down to Miami and the Dolphins beat them.
Okay, let me put you on the spot a little bit. Who do you think is the best team right now in the NFL, do you think?
Well, record-wise, you got to go with the Cardinals right now because they're undefeated.
Arizona.
Yeah, they only got one defeat.
Okay.
So, and then the Rams are stocking up. When they got the Browns.
What happened to the Chiefs, the Kansas City Chiefs? They were in the Super Bowl.
You know, ever since the Super Bowl, believe it or not, ever since the Super Bowl and what the Bucs defense did to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas
City
Chiefs.
Never been the same?
Not been the same. No, and it may have.
Psychological?
They may have come up with a blueprint to beat them.
Okay. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Okay. Real quickly, our beloved Lightning. Is Kucherov ever going to play again this year?
Sometime.
Nikita Kucherov, he's, in my opinion, might be their best player.
If he can get the weekend out of the nursing home, for crying out loud, and get back on the ice, maybe. I don't know.
All right, well, we got to keep our fingers crossed with the Lightning. But you know what? They're doing pretty well overall. And when you have the best goaltender in hockey like they do, you always are going to be in a game. All right, it is time for our top 10. And this is an interesting one. It's the top 10 most expensive zip codes. If you wanted to buy a home. And, well, we won't say right now, but there's one area somewhere in this country where almost all of them seem to be, okay? This comes from Property Shark. It is an annual survey. And we will give you, I guess it's the average median home sales price when we announce which pocket it's in.
Well, if you're going to give the zip code, you got to give the city because I don't know zip code.
Yeah, we're not going to give the numbers. We're going to give the city.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be like a county thing. All right, here we go. Number 10. Medina King County has a zip code.
Okay.
And that's in Washington State. The average median home price, $4
million. Wow.
$4 million. Number 9. Los Altos, California. Los Altos, California. Average median, $4.052 million. Number 8. Santa Monica, California. $4.058 million. Just a hair over Los Altos.
Santa Monica, isn't that? That's close to Hollywood, isn't it?
I think so. Santa Monica Boulevard. Yeah, I think you're right.
Well, I know where the boulevard is. It's right next to Hollywood Boulevard.
I don't know. I think Santa Monica's in the southern portion
of the
state.
Like Homerton Road and East Bay Drive. There, they run together.
Ah, yes, indeed. Very good. Number 7. Santa Barbara. Now, Santa Barbara is up near...
On the beach.
It's up north in near San Francisco.
Yeah, but it's on the beach, I believe, isn't it?
I think it may be.
On the coast.
$4.103 million houses on average. Wow. Number 6. I know you know where this is. Beverly Hills, California.
90210.
Yes. Exactly.
I saw this show.
90210, yeah, you're right. $4.125 million, thank you, if you want to buy a house there. Number 5, our very own state, Miami Beach. Miami Beach, $4.475 million. Mm-hmm. Wow. Number 4, wherever the hell this is Ross, California. I think it's near San Francisco. $4.583 million median home price. Number 3. Up to Massachusetts, Sagaponack. You ever been there?
No.
I don't know where it is.
Can't even spell it.
It's in Suffolk County, Massachusetts. And even $5 million per house.
To live in the snow?
Yeah. Oh. And all the other things there. Number 2. Speaking about Sagaponack, speaking about them, and I can barely speak about them. Number 2 is Suffolk County, Boston. The portion of Suffolk County, or a portion of Boston, or something. Anyway, it's $5.5 million. $5.5 million. All right, Ed.
Let's go to California. How about Beverly Hills?
Ed, I said Beverly Hills. We talked about Beverly.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But you know what? You're right about California.
Okay.
It's Atherton, California.
Hmm.
Atherton, California. You know what the average home price is?
By six mil.
You should be so lucky. $7.475 million.
I got the cheap shack for $6 million.
You would have a shack, two-bedroom shack. $7.5 million, basically. I think Atherton, I know it is. It's near San Francisco. So here's my question. 6 of the top 10 are in the San Francisco area. Why is that? What is going on with San Francisco area that it's so expensive there?
And the weather sucks, doesn't it?
No, not necessarily.
Well, I mean, it could be 50 degrees in July.
It's always, you know what? When you're right on the Pacific Ocean, it is cooler there. That's
true. And
then
you get all them homeless
people. At night, you wear a jacket, but in the daytime, the sun is very nice. I don't know exactly, but you know what? It's dry.
Yeah. You ever been to Davis Island in Tampa?
Yeah.
I mean, the houses there are unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
When I was stalking Tom Brady.
Were you stalking Tom
Brady? Yeah, when he moved here, I had to go check out the crib.
Oh, you did?
And I looked around, and I was like, wow.
You're lucky you didn't get shot.
I mean, I had flashes of Beverly Hills. I mean, it's an uptown
Davis
place.
So that's where Tom lives.
Yep.
Wow. All right, my friends. Thank you so very much. We will be back on Monday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
Now look at them yo-yos. That's the way you do it.
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Steve Kathan. In 35 states, COVID-19 cases have been trending higher over the last 2 weeks. CBS's Mola Lenghi says ICUs in Colorado are running at 95% full.
The governor here has